All right, Laker fans, we just keep rolling here. We just keep going. We'll talk Lakers basketball till 9 o'clock. Thank you for being a part of the show. Brad Turner from the LA Times will join the show around 7:45 or so. Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation around 8:15. I want to take a ton of calls on tonight's show, and I want to focus on, you know, obviously Laker fans that are out there driving around or listening on the ESPN app. Also, we'll get a chance a little bit later, LeBron and Anthony Davis, to hear from them, their postgame pressers. So let me start off the show with this. Let me kind of just keep the conversation going from the game. Let's not panic. All right, let's not. 2-2 in the restart. I know how this works, and this happens a lot to me as well. I get unnecessarily excited very easily when it comes to Lakers basketball, and then, you know, you lose a couple games, or you don't look like you're in a rhythm, or you're having a lot of issues offensively. It's easy to say, all right, maybe this Lakers team, maybe this 4.5 month start, maybe we'll never be able to be that team we were after we beat the Bucks and the Clippers and the Lakers were just rolling in March. I don't think anybody has that answer. I think today's game was a great example of a team that came out lethargic, came out hanging out, thought maybe the Oklahoma City Thunder were just maybe going to lay over, which, by the way, that's never going to happen against a Chris Paul-led team. So if there's a player out there in the NBA that, you know, smells blood, they're going to take advantage of it. It's going to be Chris Paul. And I think one of the things we saw, and this is I'm going to continue to emphasize, I'm not concerned with where the Lakers are, but you also don't want them to have some of these tendencies that they've had over these four games. You can't keep starting off slow. You can't keep digging yourself a hole. You do that against good teams. By the way, every team that you've played so far in this restart, they're good teams. They're not going to let you get away with down 13-0. Lakers were down to the Oklahoma City Thunder today by 20 points. They never had one lead. I mean, that's not Lakers basketball. It's not. So I might not be concerned big picture, but what you don't want is you all of a sudden start playing a certain style of basketball that can leak into the postseason. If this was a playoff game, I know the energy would have been different. I know the Lakers want to come out lethargic. I know the Lakers would have put themselves in a position, you know, where they can certainly kind of have it in their mind. Let's jump out on these guys. Let's rip their heart out before they even know it. We've seen the Lakers do that. Lakers walking into this game were 3-0 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. By the way, Dennis Schroeder, who's, you know, sixth man of the year, a candidate for sixth man of the year, averages 19 points a game, didn't even play in today's game. So with all that being said, I think I'm contradicting myself. I keep saying that I'm not concerned, yet I keep bringing up points against my not being concerned. With all that being said, I do think the Lakers will turn it around. Look, there's only one team in the Western Conference that's locked into their spot. It's the Lakers. So there is a luxury that the Lakers have to kind of play these games a little bit different. I don't know what's going on from the three-point line. So if you guys think that I'm doing Lakers talk tonight and I'm going to give everybody a solution of how the Lakers are sitting back shooting 5 of 37 from the three-point line, we thought it couldn't get worse than 10 from 40 like the Lakers shot against the Raptors. We were all wrong. 5 of 37 is what the Lakers shot from the three-point line. I don't know what's going on there. I told this to Michael in the pregame show. This was actually Monday's pregame show against the Jazz. One of the things I never really fully understand, and this is just somebody that enjoys a game of basketball, loves a game of basketball, and I know, you know, obviously those who are listening and typically those listening to the station just in general, they're big NBA fans. I never understood a team that struggles from the three, why they keep taking threes. You know, it's like, okay, that one's not working. Why don't we take a couple dribbles in? Why don't we try and get to the free throw line? Why don't we try and get to the basket? That wasn't happening for the Lakers, obviously, tonight and or today. And that's not something the Lakers have really paid that much attention to. They're just taking the shots. Doesn't even matter. It doesn't have to be in a complete rhythm or a complete flow. And that's one of the areas that I feel like, okay, let's look at this Lakers team and kind of pay attention to what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. They are relying so much on the three-point shooting and from the three-point line. And frankly, it's not like they're that good of a three-point shooting team. What are they, middle of the pack? past middle of the pack when it comes to three-point shooting during the regular season. So I would like to see them, if they could take the ball to the basket more, if they could be more aggressive of trying to get to the free throw line, if they could be a little bit more aggressive trying to draw fouls and so forth, I think that's going to do them better. And for a lot of shooters, typically when your shot's not going but you get a couple free throws, it might help you get back into a rhythm or a flow. You get a couple layups that can get you back into a rhythm or a flow. And the Lakers, it almost seems like, have been ignoring that so far in the restart. Okay, so when I was in the postgame show, I was promoting, we got Lakers talk, I was promoting that we wanted to take calls, and I was promoting the topic. Do you have any concerns, or what are your concerns right now, 4 games into this restart for the Los Angeles Lakers? Number one in the Western Conference, that's great and dandy. Doesn't really mean anything now because you don't have home court, so it's more just kind of a feather in your cap. That part's been accomplished. But we all know there's only one thing that matters for the Los Angeles Lakers. It's to get to the NBA Finals and win an NBA championship. Anything short of that, it's going to be a lost season. However you want to look at this, but it will be a lost season. So 4 games into this 8-game schedule, what are your concerns? What do you think are some of the strengths? Or do you feel like there's nothing to be concerned about? Lakers will turn it on when they need to. I want to start with Mark down in San Diego. Mark, I appreciate you calling in to Lakers Talk. You're on. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
I'm a little confused. Help me out here.
Okay.
The Lakers built their team to have two 7-footers on the floor at a time. I know Anthony Davis is, what, 6'10", 6'11", but mm-hmm. It's awfully close. Mm-hmm. And then with McGee, and they have Howard, who comes in off the bench. And it just seems a little contradictory to have a team built to have two big men and then also try to be a three-point shooting team. And it just seems, you know, 10 years ago in transition basketball, you had all the slashing to the basket. But these days, the transition ends up with a lot of teams shooting threes. And so, you know, you have to keep up, and I understand LBJ is the equalizer. But can you foresee, and you're only talking, what, Clippers, Rockets, Bucks, and Raptors is maybe competition. But how are they going to be able to have, you know, the dominance of the big men, 2 7-footers at a time, but also even try to hoist threes to keep up if they get in a transition game? That's my question. I know you'll have the answer. And again, thanks for taking the call.
Appreciate it, Mark. Thank you for calling in. I'll tell you this. You know, there was a lot of conversation about Nick Nurse and the Toronto Raptors and how smart they are and look how they're going to guard Anthony Davis and look, they're making the Lakers take all these threes. They're baiting the Lakers into taking all these three-pointers. If you guys remember that conversation with the Toronto Raptors, Lakers haven't beat the Raptors since 2014, so we're looking at the last couple of times Lakers faced the Raptors. They lost to them at Staples Center. Why am I using that as an example? I'm using it as an example because if you're an opposing team and you get to watch the Lakers take 40 three-pointers or 35 three-pointers and they're coming from KCP and Deion Waiters and Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green, and I can go down the list of Anthony Davis, LeBron James, all these players taking the threes, don't you want to take your chances with that? If you're an opposing team and you're trying to game plan against the Los Angeles Lakers, you want AD in the block taking 25 shots and get into the free throw line 15 to 18 times? Or do you want all those other players that I named off taking 22 to 24 footers? Lakers got to adjust to what teams are doing to them. I know it's so easy to just say, well, all you got to do is just hit your shots. We're getting the looks that we want. I know it's easy to say that. But here's the reality. It's either working or it's not. And at least in this restart, it's not working for the Lakers. Lakers are not hitting their jumpers. It's not just the, by the way, it's not just the three-pointers. They're also just not hitting their jump shots. They're also not hitting their free throws. So there's a number of things from an offensive perspective that's not working for the Lakers. But if you're the opposing team, that's exactly what you're hoping for from the Lakers. All right, we come back. I want to take, we got all these phone lines lit up, and I got Brad Turner coming on at 7:45. So when we come back, I want to take more of your guys' phone calls. By the way, I want to talk about Anthony Davis because the AD that we saw against the Utah Jazz and the AD that we saw tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's as if they were two different players. I get it, and then I don't get it. I'll tell you what I mean by that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so we're going till 9 o'clock tonight. Brad Turner, by the way, coming up about 10 minutes or so. Let me grab a couple quick phone calls here to give Laker fans a chance to react to not just tonight's game or today's game, but also just in general, right? You're four games into this restart. We didn't watch Lakers basketball for 4.5 months, so there's an incredible amount of curiosity about how this team's going to do. It's not just the Lakers. Every team that's in this Orlando bubble, by the way, how great have these games been? 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30 games are tipping off. It's been amazing, amazing to watch. I mean, I'm sitting here in the studio, and while I'm prepping for the pregame show, there's a game on. Lakers game's going on. There's other games going on at the same time. So it's been pretty special to not have any sports and then now just kind of get overwhelmed with all these sports. Okay, let me squeeze in a few calls here. Brian in West Covina. Brian calling in on line four. Brian, appreciate you calling in to Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud.
Hello. Yes, thank you for having me, Sleva. I really appreciate it. I listen to you every day. My thing is, should we be a little concerned? I think we should be a little concerned because the reason why, we got people that's hungry. Mm-hmm. When you got people that's hungry, they want to eat, right? So if we take the pedal.
Take our foot off the gas a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then they're coming to get us. And so I think Portland is probably the best matchup we need to have because it's going to bring the severity of it's being serious. If we have some, like Memphis is not going to prepare us for what we need to have. And if we can't get past Portland, then we weren't supposed to be. We weren't supposed to be.
That's a fair point. I like that, Brian. Actually, I really like that thought process there, and I appreciate you calling to the show. You know, listen, Portland's already in the playoffs. They're playing playoff games. Every game they play is a playoff game to them. Do you guys understand what I mean when I'm referencing that? What I'm saying is Michael and I were talking. We had some analogies we were making in football. When you're just trying to get into that wild card spot in the NFL, right, that you're trying to play in one of those Saturday games, week 14, 15, 16, all these games are pretty much must win. That's what the Portland Trailblazers are right now. Every game they play is technically a playoff game. The question is, if they get to the eighth seed or they get into that play-in game, are they moving on, right? Are they just continuing to play more of the playoffs? That's not the case for the Lakers. For the Lakers, you know, mentally for this team, they're in an incredible spot. But sometimes that can hurt you. Sometimes when you take your foot off the gas, like Brian was just mentioning, it could come back and haunt you. Or you can be unprepared for when another team who's hungry, who was doing everything just to put themselves in that position, they kind of have a different mindset, different mentality. I actually wouldn't be surprised in these last four games for the Lakers, they start taking these games a little bit more serious because that is all you have before the postseason starting. And whatever advantages that you thought you built during the regular season, home court advantage, you were gelling at the right time, you were playing your best basketball in March, you know, leading into April. Whatever you had is now gone. It's irrelevant. Irrelevant. Every team is kind of in a similar spot, similar position. 4.5 months of no basketball, no team basketball, no organized play is 100% going to get you off your top-notch game. Not having home court advantage and not having all these Laker fans that, you know, are so passionate about their team. They call into the show. They're They're at Staples Center filling up the arena. That's kind of irrelevant now. You pretty much are playing at a neutral site every single game. So the things that you worked so hard to get are not going to be as impactful as it would be if you weren't in this Orlando bubble and if there wasn't a stoppage for 4.5 months. Alan and Camarillo, thank you for calling in, Alan. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of concerns. You know, I've been watching all these teams, the top-tier teams, and even their
how great are the games, Alan?
Encouraging.
Alan, how good are the games?
Oh, they're good. I mean, I've,
it's been ridiculous.
Rockets in Portland were good. You know, we have Boston and Milwaukee. So all these teams are they're competitive. You know, I'm watching the Lakers. I mean, we have no wings that could guard CJ, Dame, Russ, James,
Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry. Chris Paul did a number on us tonight with Shea. I mean, it's just one of those things where they're going to key in on LeBron. We don't have another floor general to just, you know, the playoffs, they just, the defense key ins on them. I don't know if you remember when Rondo was with Chicago and with New Orleans when they swept Portland and they were up on Boston until he got hurt. Rondo's a
key.
And
that's right.
Losing Avery Bradley is huge for us, man. It is so huge for us. Another thing that I want to mention is Anthony Davis. I'm sure he's been in the playoffs, what, two, three times in his career?
And I think he's been in there more, but he's never been past the second round.
Okay, and that time he got out of in the second round was he had Rondo in there. They had Drew Holiday, so they had two good guards to initiate the offense, to get him in the ball where he wants, you know, great defenders. And that's just
my fair
thing
point.
With the Lakers. I mean,
yep.
The wings are just loaded, you know?
Well, Alan, I appreciate you calling into the show. And, again, we need a larger sample size to kind of see where the Lakers are really at. But I get it. You know, there's some fans out there that got some concern. I don't blame you. I mean, I can't sit here and say, oh, look at us. We're flawless. No one could touch the Lakers. No, it's not. They haven't played that well in this restart. Squeeze in a couple more calls. Brad Turner coming up next. John in Glendale. Go ahead, bud. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, Alan. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Thank you.
You're good. Hey, one thing that I want to mention that concerns me more than anything. I know our shooting will come back. The thing is,
where's our shooting, John? What are they doing on the perimeter? I mean, the threes have been so bad.
No, I totally agree, but that'll come. But the one thing that I don't like is Anthony Davis shooting all these three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing him on the perimeter. He should be in the post. I mean, in the playoffs, he better be in the post. I don't want that guy shooting three or more three-pointers. He needs to be in the post. If not, we're not going to get anywhere.
Well, John, I'll tell you, and I thank you again for calling in, and it's a fair point. I go back to this. If I'm the defense on another team, you know, you want to try and pick your poison with the Lakers. Right now, the poison is it's obvious. If you can stop the ADs of the world from being down low and dominating, you got other players shooting from the perimeter, that's your advantage right there. And that's what some of these teams are doing. It's going to be up to the Lakers to adjust or start hitting their threes. Final call I want to take real quick before we go to Brad Turner. Solomon on line one in Lake Balboa. Thank you for calling in, Solomon.
Thank you so much. I'm going to reflect some of the things that have already been mentioned. Initially, when I called in, I said, I'm not that worried.
Did you get worried? You see how quick we could change you?
You know what, man? The more I've been listening and I'm going, damn, there's some things we better take a look at. Pertaining to that last caller in particular, I think the loss, you know, the Lakers were moving and grooving before this pandemic hit because they had all their players.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe they're finding out. Without Bradley and Rondo, things aren't too cool on the wings, and it really, really affects your team. And also, one other thing that I was thinking of, and I don't want to certainly count my chickens, but should they win a championship or should they get to that last game where they win, man, what a kind of a letdown. There's no fans to share that with. That is going to be one odd.
It's a different world, Solomon.
Uh-huh.
It is a different world, my man. Thank you for calling in, all right? I appreciate it. Okay, let's go to break real quick. I want to bring up Brad Turner from the LA Times. He's coming up next. We'll talk a little bit about this Lakers, not just this game, but just kind of Lakers as a whole, what we can imagine looking forward. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, thank you for being a part of Lakers Talk. By the way, what we'll keep doing is we'll keep taking phone calls throughout the show. So 877-710-ESPN. I do want to go now to Brad Turner from the LA Times. BT, number one, thank you for being a part of the show. Number two, I just took about five calls where everybody's getting a little concerned here. Talk to me, Brad. Talk to me. You know how this works.
Concerned, Alan.
You know how this works, Brad.
Thompson calling. Oh, was Michael Thompson on the call every all five times?
Michael.
It had to be him.
Michael actually is pretty calm, cool, and collective when it comes to this stuff. Okay, so real quick, I don't want to just harp too much on today's game. I want to talk about just the restart in general for the Lakers. So 2-2 now in the restart. We know the Lakers are in a different position than a lot of these other teams. A lot of these other teams still fighting for seeding or just fighting to get into the postseason. Give me just your overall thoughts through four games, some of the things you like, some of the things you're concerned with.
I'm really concerned about their shooting, Alan. Other than the game against Utah where they shot 50%, they're shooting something like 35% from the field.
Struggling.
They shot 35 today. They shot, 13% from three-point range. And they're getting open looks. You've got to make open looks. When you don't make open looks, what happens is you start to press. Mm-hmm. You start to try to do things you really should not be doing, which is sometimes passing the ball, moving, getting open, then taking a good shot. So the shooting has just been bad to horrible for them. That has to improve. What I do like is they can win close games, like the very first game against the Clippers. They can win games against real good opponents, like they beat the Utah Jazz. They can play good defense. LeBron James is still the best player in the NBA, and AD can do a lot of great things for them. So they have that going for them. But they need, to quote Shaq, they need the others to be really good others for them.
Brad Turner from the LA Times joining Lakers Talk. Lakers coming off a loss to the Thunder earlier today, 105-86. Got another game tomorrow against the Houston Rockets. So Lakers, one of the good things with a bad loss like this is you come back tomorrow and try and clean up some of the mess. Okay, so Brad, help me understand this one. I want to stay on Anthony Davis, and then we'll talk about the role players in a little bit because I think it's fair, some of the points that you're making there about them from a shooting perspective struggling. We saw AD against Toronto take seven shots total. And we also, we saw him get criticized. And I'm one to hop on that as well. I've sat back and said, AD's got to be more aggressive, and he's too good of a player to take seven shots. I don't care how open some of his teammates are, especially if these shots are not going. You actually make more of a case that Anthony Davis needs to be a little bit more selfish. Then he comes back against the Jazz. I thought he took it personal, sent a message, 28 shots, double figures in free throws, 42 points. I mean, he was Anthony Davis. Today I thought he was very lackadaisical. Does some of this just have to do with the fact that the Lakers are the number one seed? It's locked up, and they're not necessarily playing for anything right now?
That's part of it, and because you have to say that you've won the division. You had the best record in the West. But how about this, though? You had the best record. You get home court advantage, but you don't really get home court advantage because everyone plays in the same city, in the same bubble. So I think part of it is they're still trying to get to know each other. I mean, Coach Vogel is playing a lot of players right now. He's putting J.R. Smith in there, who hasn't played in over, a year and a half. He's trying to insert Deion Waiters, who's really more of a look for his shot first and pass second. You have Danny Green not making shots. So as a group, I thought they all played the same way. No one really came with any intensity tonight. They all kind of came as if they had been to the beach somewhere. They showed up to play a game, and they're going back to the beach again tonight. That can't happen when the playoffs start. But there's still time. They played four games now. They have four more games to play. I wonder how many guys will play tomorrow, how many of the top guys will play tomorrow against Houston. That's the one thing I'm worried about right now. They need to get that continuity back. They don't have the same play, the same style that they were playing back in March, but that's understandable because no team does, except, I guess, maybe the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm. Brad, it's almost as if the game was an inconvenience. I mean, it's almost as if an alarm went off while they were at the beach, and it was like, got to go to work. Got to show up for a couple hours, and then we'll come back. I see what you're saying there, and I get the justification on that. The only concern I would have is you don't have that many games to get back into a rhythm. You know, let's just say, Brad, if the Lakers play the Portland Trailblazers in the first round, and Portland's already in playoff mode, right? They're, every game is the difference of them staying in Orlando or not. So that's what a lot of these teams are facing right now. The Lakers, they're not facing that. I had a caller a little bit earlier talk about, you know, when somebody's hungry, you got to be careful for those, you know, those teams. There's a lot of teams that are hungry right now, and the Lakers, that hunger just doesn't feel like it's there on a night-in, night-out basis. Do I think the Lakers will be fine in the first round and they'll beat the Portland Trailblazers? I do, even with all under all the circumstances. But I think big picture, if you don't get into a rhythm pretty soon here, if you don't start correcting some of your mistakes here, you're only a week and a half away from the playoffs starting. So it's not like we have, or 2 weeks away from the playoffs starting, it's not like we're in a position where the playoffs are 2 months down the road.
That's very, very true. But I will say this. I heard one coach who's in the bubble with his team. Mm-hmm. He says sometimes teams start playing their best basketball in the playoffs. Mm. That's when they get really serious. That's when veteran teams know you have to turn it up a little bit more. I'm not saying that's the best approach to take, and I'm not saying that's the way the Lakers should do it, but we did just calm down a little bit. Don't forget, they were off for 4.5 months, as was everyone in the league. The Portland Trailblazers are fighting for their lives. They're fighting to get into the playoffs. They're fighting to prove that they belong in Orlando and they belong in the playoffs. The Lakers show some fight, and then sometimes they just take a smack upside the head.
Brad, you're not panicking.
Four games left.
You're not panicking enough.
You can't panic.
I know, of course.
Panic when you're down game six of the playoffs, you're down 3-2 to an opponent, then you panic.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you can't panic. There's enough time left to get this right.
Oh, no. And I think, listen, and this is one of the points that I've emphasized, and I think, you know, this will be the key, as, and Coach has said this, every day we're getting a chance to hear from Coach and a couple of the players. Coach has said at the end of the day, all he cares about, and I know he's kind of said that they'll still play these games to win, but all he cares about is these are prep games for the postseason. So do I feel like if this was a critical game for the Lakers, do I think Anthony Davis would have came out and been lackadaisical? No, I don't. And if would some of these other players come out and been lackadaisical? No, I don't believe that would be the case. But we started touching on a little bit the Lakers' role players. I want to stay on that for a quick second. So we know what LeBron's going to do. We know what AD's going to do. After that, is it safe to say that I have no idea what's going to happen? And I've actually enjoyed watching Kuzma in this restart. I feel like Kuzma's putting an incredible amount of effort on the defensive side, and I also feel like Kuzma is going out of his way to not jack up bad shots. Not to say that it's not going to happen, but I feel like he's more condescending of it. What happens after LeBron and AD? Because I think for me right now, I do kind of scratch my head of where the Lakers are going to get some consistency from.
The two guys that concern me the most is Danny Green and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I'm with you.
Other than the game against Utah, where they both shot, I think, 4-for-7, they both shot the ball well, they have been very bad shooting the basketball. And you need the two of them to make the outside shots to stretch the floor. And I even dare say that both of them, at times, have not been really good on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's because they're letting the offense affect what they're doing. But if you're wide open, you got to make those three-point shots. And that's what you're getting paid to do. Like, I want to say Danny Green has been there before, and he'll come around. But KCP has been really up and down all season long. You need him to make those shots. Now you see why they miss Avery Bradley,
mm-hmm.
because he is the one guy, if he does nothing else, he's going to play great defense, and it doesn't matter who they play against, he's going to be playing full court up and down. And also, let's be honest, they're also missing Rajon Rondo right now, someone who can be a leader off the bench, someone who can get guys involved, someone who can coach on the court and not have the have Vogel always calling the plays. So they're missing these key guys, but until KCP and Danny start making shots, those are the two guys that I'm going to always have my concern about and always wonder, can they get it done? I think they can, but now they have to prove it.
Yeah, I think we I don't think we underestimated the value of not having Avery Bradley in the bubble, but I think there's been less conversation about Rondo. And I think over these few games, you're starting to see Rondo can really help guys get into a rhythm. Rondo can set up guys at the right place at the right time. Deion Waiters was talking a little bit about that in the postgame show, as you know, obviously I know you heard. So there is some of that that I think now is coming more to light, more to fruition. The reality is Avery Bradley's not coming back. Rondo, probably get him in the second round. We do know that. I think he's got to go through the whole process of, but he is back in Orlando. Now he's not with the team or anything like that. I think that's going to take time as far as the quarantine goes. So, well, we got another one tomorrow, BT. So I appreciate you being a part of the show. You know, Brad, I do for every pregame, as you know, about an hour and 15 minutes with Michael Thompson. Any message you want me to send to Michael for tomorrow?
But first of all, I feel bad for you to have to spend that much time with Michael Thompson. But it's always the same message. Michael, where is my wine?
Michael, where is my wine?
That's it. Where is my wine, Michael Thompson?
That's going in my rundown tomorrow for the pregame show.
Thank you.
Segment 4. Thank you, BT. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right, that's Brad Turner from the LA Times. You know, I think there is something with the Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo part. I think that's safe to say that the Lakers missing those two players. I liked KCP coming off the bench. Now he's got to be a starter. You know, we talked about it, and I know a lot of Laker fans were all over Rondo, you know, during the regular season, but really there's a reason why they call him Playoff Rondo. We'll hopefully see him and hopefully be able to go in round two. I mean, I don't know how ready he'll be, how in shape he'll be and everything else, but, you know, hopefully that's going to be the case. But that's a big part that I think we're starting to kind of see that has a little bit of its effects. Okay. When we come back, I want to talk about Anthony Davis, this, kind of choose to pick, you know, when to be aggressive and when not to be aggressive. By the time we get to the postseason, I want to talk about how that's not a luxury for the Lakers. It's an absolute necessity for the Lakers that Anthony Davis, who he was against the Utah Jazz, is that type of AD every single night. Also, if you want to be a part of Lakers Talk, 877-710-ESPN. Give me your thoughts on this Lakers team. What do you think of some of these bench players? How about KCP and Danny Green? Are you losing some confidence in those players? All that coming up next. Stay right here, Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.